begun!
Get down here!
My name is Alice.
It was Tuesday.
And I'm like no Captain Kirk Tux.
Too bad. You die.
You said it.
At your service, ma'am.
Ouch. I could use pants.
I thought you were dead, you asshole.
Hello, and welcome to Reset and Rewind, the video game movie podcast, where we chronologically discuss every video game movie ever. I'm Doug, and Sean! I'm here with Kevin.
Oh, that's amazing.
And Paul.
Rose! Rose!
It's so amazing that you said that, because I wrote Sharon down as something to say about this particular movie. So I can't wait till we get to that part, because it was hilarious. I thought I was crazy, because I was half delirious when I was watching this movie. I was tired as hell, and I was just like making it through this movie. So almost every little thing that could have been funny about this movie was funny about this movie, even though this movie was not funny at all.
I thought part of this movie was scary. I was actually kind of creeped out by some of it. Sean Bean is the treasure. Like, I love that guy. I love him in almost everything that he's fucking in.
What a fantastic achievement.
Almost everything that he's in. And that's what I wanted to say. Almost. Yeah. I did not like him in this movie.
Bastard.
And it wasn't because I didn't like him as a character, or it wasn't because I didn't like him. It's because I didn't like his character, because I didn't understand why his character was even in this damn movie. I don't know.
Yeah,
what
his storyline went nowhere.
Right.
And apparently, in the original script, there were only female characters. So I guess they were, whoever was behind, I guess the production company was kind of like, we need to add some men. We need some men in this movie. So Sean Bean's character was just kind of shoehorned in. And yeah, his character was just, his storyline went nowhere. And I was really waiting for Sean Bean's character to get axed by Ellen Payne. Just someone take his head off already.
Or he would go into the Silent Hill world and do something. He did nothing.
Yeah, I figured, I don't even think he saw, any of the monsters or anything. He just was walking around as if nothing was happening. And he was, just separated from the main character. I don't understand his character this entire movie. But that makes sense. I didn't realize that he was just shoehorned in. I don't understand why they couldn't have had a film with just females, but whatever.
I thought this movie could have been, if they took his little subplot out, this movie would have been much shorter. That's my one complaint about this film. It was way too long.
I fully agree.
Over 2 hours.
Yeah.
Had no reason to be that long.
100% agree. And I think part of the reason it felt so long, 2 hours in 7 minutes or something, is not super long for a movie. But I believe the pacing of this movie was really so far off that it made the movie feel like it was 3 hours, and I did not like that.
Especially if you're intentionally making a movie that stops and starts, right? Because the Silent Hill, the way it was set up was, all of a sudden it's fine, and then it gets dark, and it's fucking not, and then it's fine, and then it's not. So it's a movie that stops and starts, and then you add in another layer of stopping and starting with Sean Bean's character. It's too fucking much.
Okay, there's a scene I'm thinking about when they were in the Upside Down world. That's what it reminded me of. I know it predates Stranger Things, but it reminded me a lot of that. There's no transition. It just goes from this world of all this ash raining down from the sky to a gas station. And when do you remember that scene where that just shows a gas station? That's where Sean Bean's character was.
Yeah.
I thought it was a commercial, and then I realized, oh wait, I'm watching YouTube, and I rented this, and this isn't on IMDb TV where they show commercials. But yeah, it was just very weird. Have the lack of transitions in this movie.
It was a Sunoco commercial.
That's what I thought it was, because it just goes from just these very gray white colors to this lack of color to this very colorful gas station. with trees and the blue sky and everything.
We'll pump the gas for you.
All of those like little ash babies are just gonna. You want premium gas?
So, did we want to talk about the game real quick and get that piece over with? Have any of you played a Silent Hill?
Over with? What the fuck are you talking about? Silent Hill is a treasure. I love these games.
Well, I want to talk about this movie as well, but I've never actually played a Silent Hill.
Oh, you're missing out.
I'm familiar with the... It has that scary, you know, ashy atmosphere like in the movie, and I know of the triangle head guy.
Yeah, I also am aware of. Was he in the movie?
Pyramid Head, right?
I remember Pyramid Head in the movie.
Yeah, Pyramid Head was in the movie. He had that giant scene where he ripped somebody's skin off, man.
I don't know how I missed that one. Maybe I
he, like, ripped somebody's skin off of their body.
Since this movie felt like it was 20 hours long, there was a few points where I'm like, okay, I'm going to get a drink. And I stepped out for like 5 minutes. So that must have been the scene I walked out of.
Yeah, you must have missed.
Every scene you were out of the room.
Yeah.
Every time you left the room, Pyramid Head just like, is he gone? Okay. I can do my scene now.
Oh. No. So yeah, we could talk about the games. So there were four games released before this movie. Silent Hill 1. 2, 3, and 4, obviously. Silent Hill 1 is a pretty good game. It is relatively quick, and it was very... I thought it was pretty scary. The main character is supposed to be just, like, this regular dude. He has, like, a flashlight, and that's basically the only light in the whole game. It was pretty poor graphics, so they had to substitute it with this, like, foggy atmosphere, and so that's where the Silent Hill fog comes from. It's a way to, like, render a little bit less graphics and make things look a little bit better. Silent Hill 2 is probably the scariest fucking game that I've ever played in my entire life. It is just like, there's a really great YouTube video that I'll try to find that talks about its influences of like Cronenberg and Fincher and like Lynch and shit. It's a terrifying game. It's a really great game. It's one of my favorite It's one of my favorite horror games of all time. It's really great. The whole game, Silent Hill 2, is based on Crime and Punishment by Dostoyevsky.
Oh, really?
So that's pretty fun. It also has just a solid, solid soundtrack. All of these have really great soundtracks, but this particular second game has one of the best soundtracks of all time.
I've heard it's really great.
Super atmosphere, moody, terrifying. It's great.
Apparently the score for the movie... All of the music in the movie is from the game.
Yeah.
Besides the Johnny Cash song.
No, that was in the game too. No, I could see that because there was a lot of piano. Though there was one part I'll talk about it later that I cracked up at because of the music. So.
And Silent Hill 3 came out afterwards, and Silent Hill 3 is just more of the same. For number two, I remember when it came out, I was like expecting a little bit more progressive stuff, advances in gameplay. It's pretty much the same thing. It's also a very good game, though. We'll probably talk more about Silent Hill 3 when we talk about the next Silent Hill movie, because the second Silent Hill movie is based almost solely off of Silent Hill 3.
Oh. Hmm.
And then Silent Hill 4, I have never played before. I think I stopped at 3. I haven't heard much about Silent Hill 4, other than, you know, I think it's, again, more of the same. Much like all of these games in the early 2000s, every sequel kind of lowered the bar a little bit more. And Silent Hill 4, which is appropriately called The Room, was just more of the same. It wasn't great. It wasn't...
Oh, hi, Mark.
Yeah, exactly. He's in it. No, he's not. It also had a pretty good soundtrack, too, and the combat was a little bit different than most. So, yeah. That's the four games in a nutshell.
The strange thing about games in general, in my opinion, is that usually the first one's okay. If there is like multiples of a game, the first one's okay and the second one is a huge improvement.
Yeah.
Like you said with Silent Hill 2. And then anything after that is just like, it's just not that great. I can't think of many trilogies or quadrilogies that actually have improvements past the second one.
Yeah.
Even when I think of a trilogy, or I don't even know if this is the right term, quadrilogy, is the second game is usually the best in the series in most of the games. So it's pretty interesting how that is.
Yeah, in this case that holds pretty true. Silent Hill 2, anybody who's listening who really wants to play a Silent Hill game after watching this movie, I would just jump right into Silent Hill 2. I know it's a sequel, but it is terrifying. It's really, really good too. And it does, it hits all the notes pretty well. And I think it's
also,
just...
Also, with the music it does too.
Yeah, that, I mean, no pun intended there. But it's also just a solidly written game too. I remember a lot of the way, you know, you pick up like letters and stuff in the game. It's just a really well written game. It's well done too. And the fog, or the Silent Hill mist that's there, the ashes, that plays a really important part in Silent Hill 2 because it just makes everything even more scary. So it's great. I would recommend them. They're all very good games.
So you were talking about the fog thing in some games to make, you know, the rendering of the graphics look a little bit more natural.
Yeah.
Do you remember the South Park game where that didn't work at all?
I don't. Which one?
The one for the Nintendo 64. So I can understand like horror games doing that, but that had some of the worst fog, whatever you want to call it, technology.
Yeah.
Oh god, that game was bad.
That South Park. I never even thought about that, using fog to sort of hide problems with your like graphics. I do think if you think back to a lot of the N64 games, there was a lot of fog. So it makes sense. They were trying to hide some problems with the graphics. That's kind of cool that they did that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can understand it working in a game like Silent Hill because that's a horror genre. But South Park, it was just like, I remember playing that, and this was like, I think it was a few years after GoldenEye came out. And I was like, what the hell's up with all this fog as you try to kill like hundreds and hundreds of turkeys, because that's the whole game, is you throwing snowballs at turkeys. It's a horrible game. Don't play it.
Terrible. I'm curious if there's a city, I don't know if you guys have ever heard of this, but in Pennsylvania there's like a town that is on fire, and it's been on fire for the last like 30 years. And I'm curious if the idea of the setting of Silent Hill, I don't know if the movie just does this, but in the movie they say that there was an oil fire and it's just like still on fire to this day, and that's the reason why the ash is sort of falling down, is because there's this fire that's happening. I'm curious if they actually got this from this town in Pennsylvania called Centralia, which is just like deep in the middle of nowhere, and it's just on fire.
Pretty sure they did. I remember reading something when I was doing my research for this film, and I'm pretty sure it was, and that sounds like very similar to the name I was reading.
That's cool. That's really cool, because, yeah, Centralia is like a well-known place here in Pennsylvania because it's on fire.
Yeah.
It's been on fire for the last 20 or 30 years.
Yeah, I'm going to re-look that up, and then post-episode I'll add that in.
Just a quick note, we did look it up, and it is confirmed. Centralia, PA is the inspiration for the movie adaptation of Silent Hill. And to this day, Centralia is still on fire, at least the underground is, and it will be for around 250 more years. However, because the town was evacuated due to the fires, no one can confirm or deny the existence of triangle-headed pyramid people in the town of Centralia. And on that chilling note, back to Silent Hill.
Yeah, that's cool that you played the games, Paul, because I never played the games. I've heard that Silent Hill 2 was the best of the series in general. And I should play the game. I have a hard time playing survival horror games because it just takes me forever to beat them because I'm a scaredy cat.
Yeah, and the second one,
the entire damn time.
The second one is pretty scary too. It's also, you know, if you don't even want to play it for the game itself, just go on YouTube and listen to the soundtrack. It's a really great soundtrack.
Yeah, a lot of these, surprisingly, a lot of these survival horror games usually have a pretty damn good soundtrack. Resident Evil does as well, so
yeah,
it's really cool. It definitely brings you into the atmosphere a lot better. And I did like the soundtrack of this movie as well, so it makes sense that they derived it a bit from the series, if not took it directly from the series.
Yeah, I would say some of the strong points of this movie were, I liked the soundtrack. I don't remember the name of the officer in this movie. Do you know her name?
Sybil.
Was her name Sybil? Sybil. I like Sybil throughout this movie, all the way up until her untimely death.
I liked her when she decided to show her face eventually. At first, she just was like some creepy person, which I thought was like, who the hell is this cop?
Yeah.
Why is she acting like a total, complete creep? And you later find out why she sort of was acting like a creep, but she acted like she was like some sort of zombie or some infected person, part of the Silent Hill.
Fully agree.
The beginning of it. And I kind of hated that they introduced her character like that, because she did become a very strong character later on.
Yeah.
She was creepy in the beginning. Like, she's walking around that in front of that convenience store. She sees Sharon in the car, and she looks over. She's like, the child.
Yeah. Like, she was
Peter McNichol's character in Ghostbusters 2.
A child.
Well, the other thing is, they totally took the style of cop that she was straight from Terminator 2. They're like, okay, we're going to make her the T-1000?
Yeah.
We're going to make her the T-1000. And that's what she's going to look like in the beginning of this film, because that guy was creepy as fuck. So we're going to put this girl and make her look like the T-1000. And she totally did. Like, her whole look looked like the T-1000. Had the sunglasses, she didn't need to wear sunglasses because it was like night out. And she's wearing like a motorcycle helmet. They totally took it from there.
And then when she takes her helmet off, she's sporting the same haircut as Alyssa Milano's Marion character in the Double Dragon movie. It's like the same haircut.
She was, yes. It's like a bleached blonde look. Very short.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Totally that.
She was just missing those cut-off shorts pants that she was wearing in Double Dragon.
So, yeah, very true.
They were pants, but they were shorts at the same time. Somehow she made that happen.
It worked very well. Those were some nice pants.
Some shorts pants.
Short pants. Shants.
Shants. Ports.
You don't do them. You shan't do them. So the thing that shocked me the most in this movie was, I don't know if you guys have ever seen this movie before, but the movie's called Case 39, and that little girl is from Case 39 or 49 or whatever the stupid 9 number was. I watched that back in college, and that girl was the creepiest motherfucking girl I've ever seen in my entire life. And this was the one movie, and I don't know why it struck me this way, but little kids who do like creepy voices and things creeped me the fuck out. When I was watching this Case 39 movie, I literally had my hands in front of my face and was looking through my fingers because I was so scared, and I don't even know why. And I also at one point was just like sort of shaking because I was so afraid of this damn movie. So this movie brought me back memories, because this little girl is the creepiest fucking girl I've ever seen in any
I've never
movie.
Even heard of this movie. Like, it has a 21% rating.
It's not a good movie, but creepy kid characters scare the fuck out of me. I don't know what it is.
She was great, though. She was a great actress, this little girl.
She did a good job. She's really believable. If you want to see her even better, she does great in that Case 39 movie, even though it got 21%. The 21% goes to her, and maybe a 0.5% goes to Renee Zellweger, who I think is in the movie as well.
So So Alessa in this movie is like, I don't know how to describe it. She is some sort of like being that needs to be killed.
She's a witch.
She's a witch. So they kill her, or not. And then she stays alive and like manifests a version, two versions of herself, one light version and one dark version. So the dark version, but does she actually manifest the dark version, or does the dark version come to her? Because during the description of all of this stuff, it like shows like a little girl creeping up. So
that seems actually pretty creepy in the beginning.
Fucking
when,
nuts.
When
yeah.
Sharon is looking down into that, into hell or whatever, and you see like that little girl pop up, like right in this, like very quickly, like right into the camera.
See, that's
pretty creepy.
That's
that was
one of the
creepy.
The first parts in this movie where I was like, this is going to be a tough movie for you, Paul, because it's 12:30 at night and I'm starting this movie. It's going to be terrifying.
That's a terrible time to start it. But the creepiest thing to me wasn't just that. That was very creepy. But when she was, the little girl was meowing. There was some weird moment where they were going, meow, meow. And it wasn't cute. It was
fucking
creepy.
Creepy. Yeah.
You know what was funny about that scene was when that scene came on, Oliver started meowing, my cat.
Really?
And I was just like, wait. And then he was meowing, and then like the girl on the screen was meowing. I'm like, wait, Oliver, was that you? But they were both meowing at the same time.
Run away, man. Pretty good meow. Run away. At that moment, run away.
Yeah.
He always meows.
That was so creepy. I do want to say the introduction of Sean Bean's character was pretty good. Because I thought he was going to get hit by the truck immediately as a joke. Because the moment he's introduced, he's almost hit by a tractor trailer. And I'm like, oh, they're just going to kill him off right here. He's done. That's just the joke. Sean Bean's dead.
Well, they also... He doesn't sound like himself on the voicemail, too. So I thought, like, oh, this is her father or something. And we're going to see her, like, husband soon. Nope. That's her husband. Super weird.
So the other thing I want to note about that tractor trailer is it was that stock fucking tractor trailer we talked about before. It was totally that, and I saw it. It was.
I love it.
It would be great if he got hit by a truck. You heard that sound, and then the Wilhelm scream.
Yes, that was amazing. So, talking about Sean Bean's voice, nothing against the guy, but I don't know how to place this motherfucker's accent in this movie, because there was one moment where he was a plausible American accent. I was like, okay, is he an American accent? And then there was another moment where he sounded just like fucking Gerard Butler, and I couldn't understand a fucking word he said. He was like, I had the subtitles on, so I could read what he fucking said.
Yeah,
he said something about skeletons. He said something about skeletons, and there is no fucking way he said skeletons. I have no fucking idea what it's at.
And you're still the same cruel, flogging bastard.
Yeah, I will also agree with you. Sean Bean took the cake from Gerard Butler in terms of not being able to understand. There are multiple points in this movie where I was like, I'm just going to go off based on his body language alone and just understand what's happening here. He, like, is yelling at some nun at one point, and he's like, horrified, and then I didn't understand a word.
Where is she?
Fucking saying, yeah, that's what I was pretty much thinking, like, oh, they're just reenacting Batman here or something, like, I'm just going to play it off in my head. And then the police officer comes in, like, understanding completely what he's saying. Also, he's like, Sean Bean has a Yorkshire accent, right?
I thought he did until I watched this movie. Then I thought he was Scottish.
Right.
That's what I thought, he was Scottish. I wasn't sure.
Yeah, so...
Because Scottish is an accent I cannot discern.
That's what I was just going to say. I was like, they must have told him, like, oh, we love your Yorkshire accent, but please play a Scotsman in this.
But only in this one scene.
Only in this movie. It's great.
Okay, I have a question about that cop dude that he was with. Was he on the same side as him? Because I honestly could not tell if they were like enemies or if they were helping each other out.
I don't know. That is one point of this movie that they kind of leave open, is everybody who's in the town who is... They're obviously keeping a secret, right? And I don't know. I don't know if he's just like trying to keep him away or what. I don't understand why he would.
I wasn't sure if he was working along with the nun, who was obviously keeping a secret, or if he was like looking out for him. I honestly couldn't tell. And he had him arrested in one scene, and then he like lets him go. He's just like, "All right, you should probably go home now." And then Sean Bean just acting like a dick.
Yeah, the whole.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if I wasn't sure if I should like this character or not. This cop.
The whole premise of this movie made absolutely no sense. That, like we said before, their whole story with Sean Bean and the cop made no sense at all. And the 1950s movie reel that they played for a good like 10 minutes of the film.
The exposition.
Yeah, whatever.
Right there.
Yeah, the exposition.
What would you do if I sang out of tune? It was like the intro to Wonder Years.
You should totally edit that into this, Doug.
totally will. But yeah, that whole exposition scene, they mention the cop at one point and they're like, he's the good guy. He saved everybody. But it's almost as if this thing took place 50 years ago and the cop didn't age a day and he doesn't live in the town. So I have no fucking idea what this guy's whole deal is. I didn't understand the exposition.
Until you told me, I did not have any idea that's who that guy was.
Yeah, they show
the guy who carried the girl,
the kid.
Yeah, I didn't realize that was the cop.
Yeah, that's the cop. They say and the good guys, and then
yeah, why does he look so? He doesn't look like a day younger than how he did in the previous scene.
No one really aged. Which is another very strange. I don't know when this story actually takes place. When is present day? Is it supposed to be in the 90s?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it? Because I can't tell. Because it was. It said it was in the 50s that this original event took place, but none of the characters aged. There was the teacher. She didn't age at all. I don't know if it was the magic of Silent Hill that was keeping her from aging. But if that's the case, then Giuseppe, the cop, he didn't age either, and he didn't live in the town. So I have no fucking idea what was going on. And then there was a duplicate of Rhodes, the old lady witch version, and then the non-old lady, obviously, main character version of her. I don't know. I don't know what the fuck was happening.
Yeah. Apparently, the coal fire that turned Silent Hill into Silent Hill happened in the 1970s in this movie. And this movie's taking place in 2000, so it's about 30 years different. And I think Alessa is supposed to be 10 at the time of, like, the burning.
Sharon?
No, Alessa. Rose.
Oh, Alessa.
John.
Yeah.
Oh,
is supposed to be 10. So she's... When Sean Bean's like, this girl should be 40 in this. Like, that is... He's technically right. She should be like 40. But also the weird thing, we glossed over this. The reason that they go to Silent Hill is because her daughter is sleepwalking. That is the fucking stupidest reason to go.
Well, that's a good reason.
That's fucking stupid. Like,
I don't know. If your child was sleepwalking, I don't know.
And just saying it.
Silent Hill.
Yeah, she's just kind of like Silent Hill.
Yeah.
It was kind of like in The Wizard, how that kid kept saying California.
Yeah.
And they eventually went to California. California.
Well, if your kid was saying Silent Hill, I don't know, I'd be creeped out. I might look up Silent Hill once.
But then so now I'm on the side of Sean Bean's character, who is like, this girl needs to be like institutionalized. She needs therapy. I fucking fully agree.
Give her therapy. He was
instead you bring her to like hell and have her like jump into hell. It's fucked up.
Yeah, I don't understand the whole premise of this movie. I don't like I'll say the good part of this movie was the aesthetic. I think they did a pretty damn good job with the aesthetic and the music, but everything else including the story, was just hot garbage. I have no idea what the fuck was going on.
See, the thing was, the intro to the film, like the first 15 minutes, I kind of liked, because it was like very mysterious. I didn't really know like where it was going, but like a lot of creepy things were happening to this child, the Sharon girl. Like, there's this one creepy scene where, well, one when she's looking down to the hole and it zooms in on that little girl's face. Like, that was creepy. But there's also this scene where she's painting these pictures, and then the picture changes, and she starts freaking out, saying, like, who did this? I don't like it. Right. And that's actually kind of creepy, because I find, like, when children react to things in movies like a child would in real life, it's very relatable, because, like, when I was a child, I was scared of everything, and I would react like that.
Yeah.
And that makes it even scarier.
Yeah, I completely agree.
But, like, these CGI, like, baby monsters that show up later, like, they're not scary because they just look like fucking cartoons.
Holy shit. Yeah,
like, CGI is not scary. Really?
Yeah, they scared me just...
They didn't scare me.
From...
Paul's talking about crazy.
No, they kind of scared me a little bit, I'm not going to lie. But, the things that did scare me were, like, the bug people. Like, the bug people were just stupid.
The bug people,
with the human faces.
Yeah, bug people, like, were stupid.
Dumb. The red nurse was not that scary either. I did find Pyramid Head to be terrifying.
I didn't see him, so I don't
know. Yeah, exactly. Your eyes were...
That's what I want, yeah. Covering my eyes. No, the guy that terrified me a little bit was the guy in the bathroom. He kind of was scary too.
Oh yeah, the guy in the bathroom was terrifying. That was kind of creepy.
The scorpion man.
Yeah, he
was freaky.
With all the barbed wire all over him.
Oh like yeah, that. He was super freaky. And the regular nurses were all freaky. Where she was shining.
That reminded me.
Yeah.
Those nurses, that reminded me of like Thriller, the way they were dancing around.
I agree. Yeah, they had that type of movement.
Which apparently they filmed that backwards. They were walking
Thriller or this
backwards,
movie?
But then they reversed it so it made them look like they were.
That's pretty cool.
Normally.
That's
this
pretty
movie
cool.
Or yeah. Thriller?
This movie, yeah.
Oh, really? That is cool. Yeah,
I'm saying their dance moves remind me of Thriller a little bit.
Yeah,
because I think they're all dancers as well that they hired.
Like they hired all dancers for this. I remember seeing that.
I think the aesthetic was good, other than the baby burners or whatever the hell they were. I didn't think the little child flame people were very good. The oil spewer thing, that was pretty damn cool. I liked that, where it was like spewing oil and then it burnt her helmet. That was really cool. I liked that a lot.
Was that
the armless
guy? Yeah,
armless guy. He was really creepy, and he was spewing out like oil that was burning.
It was like that
everything.
Thing from It's like the Dilophosaurus from Jurassic Park.
It did. It totally looked like that thing. Yes.
Get the stick, stupid. Well, if Wayne Knight were in this movie, it'd be much better.
No.
You didn't say the magic word.
Agreed.
Those babies? Those, like, baby things? They sounded just like the mandrakes from Harry Potter.
Oh.
Yes.
I don't know if you noticed that.
Yeah, they also totally kind of look like the mandrakes, too.
Yeah, they did.
They do,
Yeah. To go back in the story a little bit, so before she goes to Silent Hill, the thing that kind of perplexes me is how she even fucking got to Silent Hill to begin with, because she goes in to this gas station / diner, and she talks to the lady there, and the lady goes, "Road, don't go through there," and
can't sit here.
Can't sit here. Seats taken. but she says road don't go through there, and yet then she just drives, and suddenly, because she's in a police chase, she just drives through this area, which just so happens to bring her to Silent Hill, which I don't understand at all. Like, how did she, if she was asking for directions, how did she just magically know where she was going? Or was it just like it was the whole object that the girl was sort of drifting her there? Was that the whole thing?
No, she like parks to the side and she sees the sign for Silent Hill pointing off, and that's where she drives.
Oh,
that's
I didn't
right,
see
yes.
the sign. Okay. So there
I
was a sign for Silent Hill. Okay.
Yeah. That's how she gets to Silent Hill. Kevin, were you on drugs when you were watching this movie?
Like I said, I was very delirious. I was barely awake. I had no idea what's going on. Which brings
me. You
missed
Pyramid Head, and you missed the turn off. Like, goddamn!
I totally watched that part though, because I watched her drive through the gate and all that, escaping the police. But I must have missed the sign for Silent Hill, because she asked for directions, which like just confused me a little bit. But the next piece was sort of what we alluded to in the beginning, which was Rose shouting Sharon's name.
And
Sharon!
The first time she says it, it's like the director's like, okay, say her name. And Rose just shouts out a name that she thinks that the name of the girl is, and it just happens to be Shan. And she says, Shan!
Shan!
She totally says Shan. That's it. Shan!
She just watched too many episodes of The Osbournes.
Shan! This is a joke! I'm trying to get out of this damn place!
Shan!
And then the second time they're like, no, that's not the name. That's not the name. It's Sharon. And she must have heard a little bit wrong, because the second name she says, because I wrote this down, she didn't say Sharon. She says Shannon. She goes, Shannon!
Yeah, I also heard that too. I was like, I swear I don't think they're saying the name correctly. But then again, I don't really... her name is Sharon?
Sharon.
Sharon!
Yeah. And the little girl's name is Rose. And so I don't know. And then there's Alessa.
Rosa Sharon.
So...
It's a plant.
There's so many different names here. Rose of Sharon, there we go. There's so many names here, and none of them fucking matter, to be completely honest.
No, Sharon's matters the most, because they say it the most. Sharon! Sharon!
Sharon, give me a plunger, plug the toilet up. Sharon.
It was pretty good.
Kelly! What was the... Jack!
Is his name Jack?
I think the guy...
I thought Kelly was the girl.
You can't wear that on the date. Who are you going out with tonight? You can't wear the shirt. Kelly, wear his outfit. Give me a Pop-Tart.
See, if that was Sean Bean in the role of Rose, then that's what you would have heard, most likely, was... in a very British or American or Scottish accent, one of the two, because I'm not sure what accent he was going for.
Have you guys seen Mad Max, the first one?
Yeah.
With Mel Gibson. So he doesn't... This is when he was very young, a little bit younger, when he kind of had his Australian accent still.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And throughout the entire movie, he's got this American-sounding accent, but there's this one scene where he's like, oh, I'll ride that tiger. he like sounds so Australian in that for that one line.
That's totally Sean Bean in this movie. He doesn't know where he's from. All he knows is that his name is Da Silva. And he doesn't know what his first name is, because I have no fucking idea what that guy's first name was.
Christopher.
Oh, that's right, Christopher. Because
yeah.
The other girl's, the lady's name was like Christoffen or something.
Speaking of Christopher, the director of the film's name is Christoph Gans. And when I quickly looked at the name, I thought it was Chris Gaines. If you don't remember away from the late 90s, that was Garth Brooks's like rock and roll
ego,
persona.
Yeah.
Yeah.
God damn it, I wish it was Chris Gaines in this movie. Can you imagine?
I wish he sang the song, Burning Ring of Fire. That would have been great. Just him singing that song. Then there's another point in the movie where Rose takes a knife. I just don't understand this in movies. Is this a thing that you can do? She was wearing very long schoolgirl socks, and she took a knife that was about the size of Crocodile Dundee's knife, and she shoved it into her sock, and then was just running around with it as if it wasn't going to stab her. Could you do that in real life? Could you stick a knife in your sock that's that big? I actually looked it up. Apparently there's a tiny Scottish knife that you can put in your sock. Apparently it's made for socks. But this knife was like a butcher's knife that she shoved into her sock.
Yeah, that was just...
Ugh. I feel like you'd cut your leg up.
Yeah.
I think you would.
It would be like...
Yeah. You cut your knife. You cut your whole foot off with that knife. But then again, this is the same movie in which they, like, roast a woman on fire in a fucking wooden ladder. Like, they roast her on a wooden ladder.
That was disturbing.
That was very disturbing.
You slowly see her skin melting off.
Yeah.
And then you just see her just drop dead immediately.
First off.
So disturbing.
I,
we see it close up, too.
It's terrible. One, it's just terrible to look at. But two, I'm pretty sure that wooden fucking ladder would catch on fire, too. Like, what is that wood made of? Is it, like, flame-retardant wood? Why? How come the wood didn't light on fire, too? And she'd fall into the... That was a wooden ladder, was I right?
Yeah, and she was on... She was roped as well.
Yeah.
She had a bunch of ropes on her. Was it flame-retardant rope? Too.
Yeah, so that whole thing, like, she, like, caught on fire. Are bodies more catch on fire more easy than, like, 40-year-old decaying wood and rope? Are we more flammable? Okay,
maybe,
I just want to make
maybe
sure.
Maybe they poured, like, kerosene on her or something.
But not on the ropes? These, like,
not just the
they
person.
They just poured it on her and then they tie
just,
her up.
Just poor Sybil.
No, that didn't make any sense. And to be honest, the aesthetic wasn't even that great for that piece. I don't know. I'm surprised they didn't burn her like a witch. Like, they kept yelling, witch, witch, witch.
Witch.
And then
yeah.
And then they're like, okay, we're going to bend this ladder over and melt her face, which was very disturbing. And then
totally unnecessary, too.
It was unnecessary. That whole part was absolutely disgusting. Where the barbed wire was shooting all over the place and, like, ripping people in half. Ugh,
that was kind of cool.
It was cool.
Because that was just, like, that was goofy, like, Mortal Kombat violence. But, like, the burning alive just looked too real. And the one thing that made it even more disturbing was the little girl was screaming, like, as if, like, a real child would react to seeing someone burn in front of their eyes.
Agree.
Terrible. And, so, I didn't have too many problems with, like, a giant Porky moment where, like, she like comes up all burnt and looks like Porky from Mother 3 with all of the different tentacle things.
Yeah,
out.
She totally did.
she did. I didn't have any problem with it until it started being like that weird tentacle rape thing. Like, they like grabbed her leg and like tried to rip her
open.
Oh,
and then they went
and,
up
like,
her.
Yeah.
Did it go? Yeah,
yes.
I was gonna. Did I?
It
okay,
right
it did
up.
Go like into her vagina. Did
yes.
did I? Was
it,
I was not imagining that?
I mean, there was two spots it could have gone up. It either went up her ass or went up her vagina, one
okay.
of the two.
So I,
but the way her reaction face was, it's up my vagina. That's
yeah.
what and that's what her face said.
It's just
like, ooh. Ouch.
No, not that. It was more like, oh my god.
Ooh, I'm dead.
Yeah. See, that I texted you guys like earlier, you know, I just feel like this movie was a little excessive. It's the burning on fire part and that part that feel overly... And let's not gloss over the fact that Pyramid Head literally rips the skin off of somebody. Those three parts are just
that was
a little fucking
movie.
Excessive. one that you didn't watch, Kevin.
That was insane. I did not expect that. Because I feel like to that point, the movie wasn't that violent.
I agree, yeah.
But that... It just, like, it went from maybe... On a scale from 1 to 10, it went from, like, a 3 to, like, an 11.
What happened to Pyramid Head? Did he die?
No, Pyramid Head...
I don't think so.
The church was some sacred, like, place, and so Pyramid Head couldn't invade it until... but he just never came. I don't know. Pyramid Head, in the story of Silent Hill, is the executioner. So he's, like, an actual executioner. In this, I don't know what he is. He just, like, appears and is walking around. But
yeah, they didn't
seems...
tell his story in the exposition. He didn't.
No.
He wasn't there.
No.
Is his name really Pyramid Head in the game?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's Pyramid.
That sounds like the name of someone who's like really into Egyptian history.
He is.
Yeah.
Like, what a pyramid head that guy is.
Yeah, he is.
He's supposed to be, from what I remember, they originally designed Pyramid Head to be like this hunchbacky character, and they thought that it was a little bit too weird and like wasn't really scary enough, so they actually flipped it around and made him this like tall, muscular, like Egyptian god sort of human being with a giant pyramid on his head.
Which was a cool idea.
They could have made the Pyramid Head of Notre Dame.
Yeah, there you go. Great. Next game, Doug. We'll make that game. In the second game, Pyramid Head plays a pretty large role, and there's a scene in which the main character has to hide, and Pyramid Head is just like directly fucking outside the wherever that I can't even remember where he's hiding, but I do remember the feeling of being like the guy's right the fucking there where I'm gonna die.
That's fucking terrifying.
It's great. He's a really good villain.
Yeah, he's terrifying.
I
wouldn't be able to handle that. So during this period, so they eventually meet up with the fanatics, I guess, which is what you would classify these people of the village are. They're just crazy fanatics.
Mm-hmm.
And then at one point, they point to the crosses, which I know that that's probably a symbol that is special to Silent Hill or something. But they point to it and they're like, that's a symbol of faith. Yes. It's fucking crosses. Yes. That is a symbol of faith.
That is a lowercase letter T.
So that I had to point out because I thought that was hilarious. And then there's a point where they're walking, like they ring the bell and everybody's running. There's this Anna character who I didn't understand at all. And she's out there. And I still don't understand this stupid-ass character. But she's talking to the witch Rose, the old-ass Rose, who's out there. And she's like, don't go in there. They're all a bunch of fanatics or assholes or whatever she says. And then she gives the rock on symbol to Anna. She just goes, rock on.
Yeah.
And I don't know what happens. Like, you never see Anna again, I don't
know. No, you do. Anna, you do? Gets her fucking skin ripped off.
Oh, yeah, she gets her skin ripped off.
That's the lady that's right. Who gets her fucking skin ripped off. It's the worst death, second worst death. No, first worst death. No, second worst death in this movie. The lady who gets impaled by barbed wire is the first worst death.
Oh, yeah.
Then there's the guy. There's the guy who I don't think has any lines, who kind of looks like the... that goth dude from Great British Baking Show who gets wrapped in barbed wire and then ripped in, like, he gets, like...
Oh, yeah, he gets, like, ripped in half?
Sort of, yeah. He gets, like, surrounded by barbed wire and just gets squeezed into just bloody pulp.
Oh, yeah, he explodes, right?
Yeah. It's like a Mortal Kombat death right there.
Oh, yeah, that was crazy.
Poor Noel.
Noel.
Was that his name, Noel?
Yeah, that's the guy from Great British Baking Show that he kind of looks like.
Yeah. Oh. And then they during this time, they also zoom to the pointless part of the story where Sean Bean is. But they say this is the creepiest fucking prayer I've ever heard. And I've heard this prayer before, but it always creeps me the shit out. And especially it's creepy when a kid says it. And it's, if I should die before I wake, I pray to God my soul to take. That is the fucking creepiest prayer.
Hush, little baby, don't say a word. It's in that Metallica song.
Yeah, exactly.
I hate, but when a kid says it, it's like, why are you making a kid say, if I should die before I wake, just make sure my soul, you take it. Like, why are you saying this? Why is a kid dying before they wake? What is going on?
Because those people back, those like weird Protestant people, really believed in some crazy shit, dude.
Oh my God, it's scary as fuck. I don't like that. I hate it. And that prayer should be just reserved for 99-year-old people. And
that's it. it's always creepy when they do the Our Father or though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall feel no evil. Like, that shit, whenever it's in a horror movie, I'm like, this is going to be a scary movie.
Remember that from Spider-Man where Aunt May goes, deliver us from evil!
Those eyes, those horrible yellow eyes.
The best part of that whole scene is Willem Dafoe. Finish it! Finish it!
From evil!
You know what Peter would say about that? You want forgiveness? Get religion.
I'm gonna kick some sand in your eye.
Find some shade.
Hey, Hot Legs.
Oh, yeah, Hey, Hot Legs is one of my favorite. I'm gonna throw some dirt in your eye.
I'm gonna put some dirt in your eye.
So, right after this scene is the scene where the music actually cracked me up. So, there's a point, and I don't know if you guys remember this, but the Fanatics are walking out, and she picks up the locket, and the song is like something from some like 80s gang, and it's like ba boom cha ba ba da ba ba cha ba ba da boom 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 chicka ba. It had no place in this entire fucking movie, and it's just like cha-cha, cha-cha. I expected them to like fucking snap as they were walking, and they're because they're walking across the entire town as if they're like some sort of gang, and the whole movie is all like piano sounds, creepy piano, and then this is ba 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 da ba.
It's like West Side Story or something.
Yeah. So, I don't know. It cracked me up. And then immediately it ends, and it only took place for like 2 minutes of the whole film, and then it's back to creepy piano, and that was it.
I took note. There was a scene. This was a really stupid scene. This reminded me of like a Full House joke. When Sean Bean, he goes to this mechanic, and the mechanic says something about, like, oh, you breathe enough of those fumes, they're bound to kill you. And after he delivers that line, he lights up a cigarette. You get it?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It's almost, it was like, you remember those truth ads from, like, that time, from, like, 2006? Remind me somewhat of those.
I wish they had that. There was a lot of portions of this movie that could have been like an ad. Like you said, there was the Sunoco
the fake scene. Fake out commercial.
Then there was this truth hurts.
those truth ads.
This is your mind on drugs.
Those ads made me want to smoke just to not be like the people who made those commercials.
Oh my God, yeah, I agree.
I felt the same way with Dare. Like, yeah. Fuck Dare. I just want to do everything the opposite of Dare.
Do all the drugs.
Yeah.
There was a truth commercial. I haven't thought about this until now for probably like 20 years. But it was like this guy, like maybe in his early 20s, he's like, big tobacco, big coincidence. And this commercial would be like on all the time. I'm like, dude, fucking, you make me want to smoke cigarettes. You're a fucking asshole. I don't want to be like you. They're just, those commercials are full of so many like unlikable people.
Oh, yeah.
Preaching to you about not smoking. I mean, I don't smoke, but yeah. Fuck those commercials. I'm glad.
But it wasn't because of those assholes.
If I watched any more of those ads, I'd sound like this.
I'm going to smoke in Spidey, you fucking asshole.
There was a truth commercial where there was like a guy who's like, you don't always die from tobacco. It was like this country western singer who was like singing through like this throat hole.
I hate those. I hate
those a lot. Yeah.
They don't do anything to make me want to like never smoke again. It just makes me never want to watch TV again.
Yeah.
I was going to say the exact same thing. Like, mm-hmm. I immediately turned the channel off because I'm just like, you know what? I don't want to watch this. Because I don't want to watch some old lady talking through a fucking throat hole.
Yeah.
So this weekend, Lacey and I were in a hotel, and we don't have cable, but hotel rooms, that's all they have is cable. 75% of what you see on there is talk to your doctor about blah, blah, blah.
Oh, it's
side
so
effects
terrible.
Include, it's like, that's all of television now. It's
you know why
horrifying.
That's all television? Because 95% of people who still watch
are
television
old.
Are old
yeah.
ass people. So it's yeah. all medicine ads mm-hmm. now. Everybody else watches streaming.
Yeah.
But yeah, I can't watch regular TV anymore because 90% of the ads are that. And most of TV is ads.
Yeah.
It's awful.
It made me think. I've never been in a hotel where they had Netflix or Hulu. I wonder if they have some kind of deal with the cable companies.
That's a good point.
Conspiracy theory right there. I'm just brought up. They're working with the hotels.
Right. Look at you.
That's the only way they're surviving.
Who's your duck?
Sounds something that Alex Jones would talk about.
Big hotel.
The hotels.
Right there.
The hotels and the liberals and the cable companies are working together. And they have pedophiles in the basements of pizza parlors.
Oh my god.
Oh my god.
So, you guys want to talk about the end of this movie? Because I have something written. I want to say it, but I'll let you guys finish. Because it's about the very end of the movie.
Sean Bean didn't die.
Yeah, well, I was actually going to talk about that. He dies in almost every movie except for this one, apparently. So
this one in The Martian. He was also in The Martian, and I expected him to die. But this was a more unforgivable death. Because I figured they could have killed him and it would have been fine. Like, no one would have been really that sad for his death. He didn't really do anything. So there wasn't really much point to his character.
We always want to keep him alive. You know what I mean? We just want to keep him alive. Keep Sean Bean alive as much as possible.
No, I like it when he dies. That's when that's his best characters, usually, when they die.
006. Boromir.
Yep. Ned Stark. All very good.
Yeah. Did he die in Pixels? I think he may have. I don't remember now.
Pixels?
Yeah, that Adam Sandler movie.
Oh, I never watched that movie.
Yeah, he was
the
in
one about video games or whatever.
Yeah, he was in that. I don't remember if he died, though.
He probably died.
I feel like he did, and they probably made a joke about it because he's Sean Bean.
He dies in a lot of movies.
Yeah.
That otherwise, that wouldn't be a meme if mm-hmm. he only died in two things.
Mm-hmm.
I guess he dies as Trevelyan, so 006.
006. Yeah.
And there was
that's
Bill,
one of my favorite roles of his. I love Boromir, but that
Trevelyan.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's really very good great. As Trevelyan. I actually want to watch those movies again. But at the very end of this movie, I don't know why. There was an inkling in my brain that there was something up with them leaving Silent Hill. And as they were leaving, Rose calls Sean Bean, right? And she leaves a message and she goes, "We're coming home." And for some reason, I imagined in my brain that, like, Morgan Freeman
home.
Would start narrating, and he would say, "They never did come home. They were ghosts after all, just trying to find their way back home. Sean always wondered why he and Rose never could have children, and now he knew why." That's just what I imagined at the very end, because that is what I think that's what the whole last scene was missing, was a narrator, because they returned home. And
oh, man.
Clearly, they were fucking ghosts the entire time. They must have been, because they didn't actually come into the house. They were in, like, some bizarro land or upside down world, whatever you want to
think. Well, she's... So, here are some theories of mine, if you're ready to hear them. So, yes. She has to go down into hell and go talk to Alessa in order to actually, you know, find her way out, right? But in doing so, she goes and talks and she merges with, like, the evil form of Alessa. And I think at that point, she's just, like, damned for all eternity in this place. There really is no version of Sharon. Sharon doesn't exist.
Sharon!
Sharon's, like, just like, oh, she's all the good of Alessa. She fucking doesn't exist. That's what they're saying.
What about Rose?
But that's what I'm saying. Rose is, like, merged with the evil form of Alessa at that point. So they're both trapped in this world. They can't leave. So, of course, the moment that they try to leave, I was like, oh, yeah, they're never going to leave because they're already fucking here. That's where they are forever. And sure enough, they stay there forever.
I think they're always ghosts. My theory is Rose and the little girl never existed. And I don't think Sean Bean really existed either, because he wasn't supposed to be in this film. But he happened to be in this film because there wasn't enough guys in the film. So they added
No one
him.
Exists. This whole movie, everyone is not real. The whole movie.
No, but I don't think that Rose or the girl existed ever. And that actually plays into the reason why they adopted a kid. You don't adopt a kid unless you can't have them, usually. So she couldn't have a kid. Why? Because she's a fucking ghost. She couldn't have a kid. She's this another version of this old-ass woman who lives in Silent Hill, and they can't have kids.
I don't think that you exist, Kevin. Are you
really
real?
Well, I do, because I gave that synopsis. That theory.
I do think... So, the death of the cop we glossed over a little bit. I really like the cop. She dies. It was really upsetting.
Oh, I thought you meant the other cop. I was like, Giuseppe, he didn't die.
It's also not his name, though. But
I don't know what his name was, but I thought it was Giuseppe. He had a name.
But the cop dies at the end. But she gets, before she dies, I thought she was already dead. Because all those weird henchmen people just beat the living hell out of her for, like, a long time. It was like that weird... It was like that UHF, like, scene where they, like, just beat the shit out of somebody for a long time in that movie. It was comical how often they, like, just stomped the crap out of this poor police officer.
You talking about that in UHF, the Weird Al movie?
Yeah.
Oh, is that the scene where he's, like, on the game, on that talk show, and he's, like, covered in bandages? Is that the scene you're talking about?
Exactly, yeah. I thought she was dead at that point, and then all of a sudden she's like hanging from the world's strongest 40-year-old wooden ladder. And so that was really weird. And then there's also the scene where, so Alessa's mother is now, I guess, damned for all eternity to be in Silent Hill as like the only living being, right? Is that what that was? Did I understand that correctly? Like, her mom is always, Alessa's mom is always going to be there, just constantly fucking going through the motions over and over again.
That's what I thought, too. That's what they,
that's fucking
that's the
terrible.
Way they explained it, yeah.
That woman, I know she damned her daughter, but goddamn, that's terrible.
So, I want to say a few things. So, first off, the reason I thought the guy's name was Giuseppe was because Alessa's last name is Gillespie. So that's where I got Giuseppe. His last name is Gucci, which is even worse. And third, Sybil, you look at her character in Silent Hill and tell me she doesn't look like fucking Jane Lynch.
A little bit.
She could have totally been. That was a missed opportunity. The character should have been cast as Jane Lynch because it totally looks like Jane Lynch.
Jane Lynch is in too much already. Let's.
But
back
not
off
this
a
movie.
Bit. Yeah, she doesn't need to be in anything else, in my opinion. Let's tone her back a little bit. She's already in a little bit too much.
But she looks exactly like that character.
I agree. I'm glad that there's Jane Lynch and impersonators getting work out there. they need it. So, all in all, I think that this movie is hot. What's the best way to put this? This is not at the top of the list, but it's not at the bottom either. It's sort of in the middle. But I would also, I would trend this more towards one of the worser movies that we've watched.
Definitely better than Wing Commander. Better than Pokemon the first movie, I'd say.
Tomb Raider.
Two. They're below all of them.
That one, yeah. They don't even count. All of the Uwe Bowls.
Do you think Alone in the Dark beat the Tomb Raiders being the worst one we've done? I still think Tomb Raider, the first one, is still the worst one we've done.
I'm biased.
Tomb Raider, the first one, is the worst one we've ever done.
Yeah.
And
then Blood Rain.
I agree with that.
Yeah, Blood Rain. I'd say Blood Rain. No, Alone in the Dark is the second worst.
I think Tomb Raider 1 is the worst.
Yes.
I think Doom and then Blood Rain and
You're alone with Doom on that one.
I'm the outlier. I'm the outlier with Doom. I thought Doom was okay.
No, you're not the outlier. Paul's the outlier.
No, I'm the outlier.
He's fucking wrong. He thought it was the second worst movie. Get the fuck out of here. So
it's bad.
Cradle of Life, totally worse than that fucking movie. Tomb Raider, Cradle of Life.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of the Uwe Boll movies, with the exception of House of the Dead.
Yeah.
I don't even know the name of it. That movie was okay because it was so cheesy it was good.
I agree.
But all of the other ones, Alone in the Dark was a snore fest. It wasn't even exciting to talk about. At least the Tomb Raider movies were fun to talk about because they were good to shit on. That movie didn't even have any shitting on. Like, you could shit on that one actress, Tara Reid. But that's it.
I thought you were dead, you asshole.
And she wasn't even that good. Like, she wasn't even that shittable on that movie. Like, she wasn't good, but she wasn't, like, so awful like she could be picked on. It was not fun. But yeah, I would classify this movie below all of the 90s films that we talked about.
Yes.
Except for Wing Commander, because I don't like Wing Commander. But all of the other 90s movies that we talked about, I think are higher. And then obviously all the bonus episode movies steps above anything we talked about here.
I think Wing Commander is not great. I think I'd give it more accolades just for the fucking bulldozer scene above everything else.
That's
right. I think this movie is pretty, pretty bad. I don't think it's bad in terms of direction. I think it's directed okay. I also don't think it's bad in terms of acting. None of the actors are particularly horrible.
And the little girl, like I said, is great. She's probably the best actor in the movie.
The story is garbage.
It makes no sense. Very little of it makes sense. Yeah. And it then veers at times where, you know, I can deal with pretty good acting, pretty good direction, poor story, if everything kind of plays into one another. But by the end of this movie, there's gratuitous death scenes, too much gore, too much, like, weird religious horror stuff that doesn't make any sense. All of that stuff together, it just makes for just like a really unsatisfying ending to a movie.
I would agree with you. I think the entire movie was very serious and like very serious, like horror throughout the movie until the very end, where they did gratuitous horror, like gratuitous deaths and stuff like that. Something you would see in like a Mortal Kombat movie, which didn't feel like the rest of the movie, in my opinion. And that's where I think the whole movie lacked, is like it tried to do something at the end that it wasn't for the entire film. And that's probably why I disliked the ending. Usually I like that cheesy, gory stuff, but I felt like it just didn't it didn't have a place in this movie.
Saw came out right around the same time as this.
That's the reason I dislike this movie.
But Saw is just gross, though. Saw is just too realistic. But like this movie, I think, was just goofy. Like, the violence was very unrealistic.
Well, the ending violence was very goofy. But except for the one
burning.
Yeah, like
that was too real.
Yeah, that was real, and then, but anything with the barbed wire was a little bit over the top. Obviously, was really very ridiculous. But earlier on in the movie, like all of the other horror that was in the movie felt very real, even though, like, obviously it was otherworldly. But it still felt like it was like a real horror until the very end.
Yeah.
And I felt like they were just trying to be gross.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I did too. And for that reason, pretty much, I think it ruined a lot of what I felt were kind of decent moments of this whole movie.
I agree. I think there were two big problems. One was that. The other one was Sean Bean and his whole arc. It made absolutely no sense. If that were taken out of the movie, I don't think anything would have changed.
It would have been shorter. That would have been, if it was just shorter, like, take Sean Bean out and be maybe like an hour and 30 minutes, like a 90-minute movie. It would have been much
fully
better.
Fully agree. Yeah.
Fully agree. I completely agree. Like, that was one of my biggest problems with the movie, was he went absolutely nowhere. I guess the only thing you could say about his character was he was used to recognize that they were ghosts or trapped in Silent Hill or whatever the fuck happened to these people at the end of the movie. I think that was his only role in the entire movie, but other than that, he did nothing with Silent Hill.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he didn't even discover more, because they had that whole exposition
that they
talked about the entire storyline. So whatever he discovered, completely pointless. Didn't even make any sense anymore, because they just talked about what he did anyway. I think he would have been more important and more interesting if he had discovered what they didn't discover, but they discovered it anyway, so.
Yeah. Yeah, I have to say, I feel a little disappointed in this movie, because, like we have all just been saying, it felt pretty fun and kind of scary and just, I don't know, decent all the way up until 3/4 of it, and then the ending of it just ruined it. I know you guys have never played a Silent Hill game before, but there were parts of this movie that felt like Silent Hill game.
I agree.
Even though I've not
played one, I agree.
The atmosphere is perfect. Like, it looks just like the game was.
So yeah, I felt like a survival horror. That's what I felt like in a few areas.
Yes, yeah, and specifically, there's all, you know, most of the first game, it's only, the only source of light is the flashlight. That's it. There's really nothing else. And so when she picks up the flashlight, I thought, oh, this is going to be pretty good. And they use that very well throughout parts of it. Mm-hmm. Specifically, the bathroom scene where the guy, the scorpion guy, comes and, like, crawls out, and it's basically her flashlight. You know, that's a scary scene. It's really well done. Again, the same thing with Pyramid Head, when they're locked in that little, like, fan area with, and they're trying to, like, escape through there. That's also pretty good. But I don't know what happened. They just, like, abandoned that and decided to get super Saw-like and scary, and fuck that. It didn't make any sense.
I feel like they were trying to grab the attention of the immature teenage boy audience with the barbed wire up that woman's skirt.
Yeah.
Vagina. You know, immature fucking asshole kids are gonna, you know, make jokes. Did you see the scene with the vagina? So gross.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's too bad.
There's a ton of other ways to make crazy, scary, or, like, weird situations in films like this, especially with, like, source material. Like Silent Hill. You can do it in a ton of ways, and they just decided not to. So, I'd say my favorite part of this whole film was the scene where she had to silently walk through all of the nurses. That shit was terrifying.
That was good. Yeah, that was well done.
And in terms of, like, a fidelity to game, that is probably the closest to a video game adaptation that we've seen so far, in my opinion. Like, that felt like straight from a Silent Hill game. That was fucking terrifying and tense. And I was like, yeah, that is... Somebody picked it straight up from the game and threw it in the movie. Great.
Yeah, that felt like a survival horror piece.
Yeah, it was really, really good. But
especially because if you play one of those types of games, usually the enemies, if you are silently moving through them, they will move a little bit to sort of like scare you. And that's what they did in this scene, was they like swiped at themselves and stuff like that. And I completely agree. That was very well done and totally felt like you were in a survival horror type of game. I felt the same with the one other scene where they had the oil spewer, because it was just like one enemy against one person with a gun and she was shooting at them. Like, obviously Rose wasn't really part of the scene, but she was there. But the cop was fighting this one enemy like you would in like a Resident Evil type of game. You're fighting one enemy, which is scary as fuck when you're in a survival horror game. So yeah, I completely agree with you, and that's where they hit in this movie, but a lot of other areas, that's why the downfall of this movie was because of the other areas where they tried to do filler and they tried to do over the top shit, which caused problems.
About the movie kind of reminding me of a game. Some of the characters remind me of like NPCs from the game. When Rose is with that cult, when she's trying to get to that leader, one of the followers of the cultists slaps her in the face, and she just pushes the guy out of the way lightly, and he flies like 30 feet. Did you notice that? She just lightly like pushes his head, and then he just goes flying back.
Yes, I did. And, like, I did remember that.
And like that slap to the face did, like, she reacted, but then she was completely fine after that. Actually, I think he punches her. Yeah. I think he may just actually full-on punch her in the face. I don't remember. It was a pretty violent strike, though.
Yeah, I do remember him flying back, like, super ridiculously. And I agree. That totally felt like a video game.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's why I would classify this higher on my list. It did feel like in certain areas that I was playing a video game, which felt very good. They did have a lot of callbacks to... As far as I know, Silent Hill. I know that the nurses are in it, and I know Pyramid Head, even though I didn't see him, was in this, and then Alessa was in it, and all these other characters were in this. So they did really good callbacks, where you can't really say that with like Tomb Raider or a lot of the other video game movies, the worst video game movies that we talked about, like Wing Commander. What did they pull from video games? They didn't pull much, but this one really, I think, did pretty well with that.
Yeah, it also falls in, these early 2000 movies are all trash anyway. This whole era of, like, music and television and movies is just bad.
I completely agree.
So we're picking from the very bottom of the barrel anyway. So, you know, I'm ready to move on in terms of, let's get out of the early 2000s here and into something like a little bit more substantial.
I agree. The early 2000s were a rough time.
I'm
realizing that more and more, like, just everything was just not great. There was the writer's strike, which caused some problems, and just a lot of things were not great with the early 2000s. And even today, I think that there's a lot of not great content out there. I really hope they start turning some things around, because I really miss the 90s shit. Yeah. I'm watching, one quick thing. I'm watching the Next Generation Star Trek.
Yeah.
And my God, that is phenomenal. I really love it. And I just miss shit like that, where it's got its corny moments. It's got its great moments, and I miss that in a lot of stuff nowadays, and I really hope that they start doing that more, and that sort of style is brought back. sooner rather than later.
Doug, what's our next movie?
Yeah.
So our next movie, I have a feeling sucks because it's Dead or movie Alive.
Oh.
I don't know if it's him. I didn't check it. Maybe? I don't know. But it's DOA, Dead or Alive, from the same year, 2006.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
It's going to be a lot of... All right. It's the boobs game, right?
Yeah, that's totally the boobs
game.
Oh,
God.
That's the gym.
It's gonna be. I'm going to guess it's going to be very insensitive to women. I'm just going to guess.
Oh, no doubt. Like, you can tell by the... Okay, it isn't a Newbie Bowl movie, so I guess that's something. But if you just look at the picture of the movie, it's three women, two men in the back, kind of hidden away, three women with in very promiscuous poses. So, yeah.
I mean...
Do they just have giant erections?
Let's see here. You can't see there. Their bottom halves very well.
I mean, just get ready, guys, because this is our life for the next couple of weeks. We got Dead or Alive, and then Resident Evil Extinction afterwards. Postal, Hitman, In the Name of the King, a dungeon siege tale, Far Cry, Max Payne, Street Fighter, The Legend of Chun Li, Tekken, Prince of Persia, yes. Resident Evil Afterlife, Resident Evil Retribution.
Like, so this is our last episode of Reset and Rewind.
I'm out. I can't do it. This is going to be real tough. Maybe we can do them all in rapid fire.
I can't wait. I can't wait till all of these movies. Come on. Dead or Alive. I hated that fucking game. Oh my God,
me too.
I don't know. I wish we could skip it because it's barely a game in my opinion. It's the worst. It's one of the worst fighting games I think ever made, even though a lot of people love it.
But it has tits.
Yeah. Well, so does Soul Calibur.
But every character in this game has tits.
Look at fucking Ivy. You watch her tits fly all day if you want. Go ahead.
You're not gonna see tits Taki. On Johnny Cage.
Taki. Her tits were really moving a lot. go play a good fucking game, a fighting game. Don't play Dead.
Didn't they have to remove, like, was it Rainbow Mika from Street Fighter V? Didn't they have to change her because she was too scantily clad and her boobs were too revealing? I remember hearing something about that.
I don't know how they get a character like that out of the game when you have a full game, Dead or Alive, which is literally all about tits. That's it. There's nothing else. No one remembers the male characters of that fucking game.
Wait, are there? I thought it was all women in Dead or Alive.
No. There's male characters.
Oh, I thought it was like all women.
No. It's like a Tekken, but where the women have completely giant fucking boobs.
Oh.
And the reason why you think that there's only women in the game is because their boobs are so big that they just take over the game.
Yeah, like one of the other fighters in Dead or Alive is Ryu Hayabusa.
Right, Ryu
from
isn't it? Yeah.
Ninja Gaiden. Yep. Yeah, he's a fighter in there.
You see his like, boobs?
Yeah, he's
yeah
got
I mean,
boobs.
I don't know.
Ryu Hayabusa.
Hayabusa. Which is another thing. Why not put him in his own movie? Ryu, Ninja Gaiden is made for this. Just make him a Ninja Gaiden movie.
It was like one of the first Nintendo games that have cutscenes. And they look great for the Nintendo.
I agree.
It's like an anime.
Ryu would be a very, very good character to make a game on. Or make a movie on.
And put him in Smash Brothers.
Yeah, they make Dead or Alive. Must be. I think Ryu is in this movie. I'm pretty sure. So that's something to look forward to.
Yeah, maybe. There we go. There's the silver lining. Ryu in the Dead or Alive movie. Perfect. I can't wait to see him.
He is in it. Yeah. And he looks nothing like Ryu Hayabusa. Perfect.
Damn it. Damn it,
wait, why'd you give him a white karate gi and a headband? Oh, I thought you said Ryu Hoshi.
That's pretty close, except he has a black one with a black headband, but he still doesn't look like Ryu.
Is he wearing a mask?
Nope. That's why he doesn't look like Ryu.
What? That's what makes Ninja Guy. What makes him is his mask.
He looks like a kid who just got out of karate practice, and he's ready. He's ready.
I think they really did get him confused with the Ryu from Street Fighter.
Maybe.
Idiots. Yeah.
Anyway, we'll talk about it next week.
So that does it for this episode of Reset and Rewind, Silent Hill from 2006. You want to hear more from us? You can follow us on Instagram. We also have an email at resetandrewindpodcast@gmail.com. Ben, who you've heard on our Resident Evil episode, we have a podcast called Star or Not, where we talk about a celebrity's first starring role in a film. Right now we have Kazam, and that's our only episode as of this recording. We'll get some more out at some point. So as you heard, our next episode is DOA, Dead or Alive. And anything else?
Nope.
I would say if you can find a way to do it, play PT, which is the demo that came out in a while ago that was directed by Hideo Kojima. That is the Silent Hill demo.
Isn't it also, what's his name?
Guillermo del Toro.
Yes, yeah. Which is very good.
And it's a terrifying demo. It's really hard to find now, but it captures a lot of what makes Silent Hill scary. And so I would play that, just a suggestion, if you're really into Silent Hill. It's fun.
Yeah, I've heard that's along the same lines as Silent Hill.
All right. Oh, that's weird. I see Sean Bean's outside my window.
The Horn of Gondor.
Oh.
Sharon!
Get hit by a truck. He's dead.